afraid of the dark. Just relax and let the darkness fall over you.
Welcome to Afraidish, a podcast where every four episodes we venture into a new state and take a deep dive into the history and paranormal while enjoying some tasty adult beverages. From ghost sightings to hauntings, urban legends and cryptids, let's get weird and afraid-ish together. I'm Paul.
And I'm Ashley.
Welcome to episode 18, or episode 2 of Texas.
Woohoo!
Yay. Oh my gosh, it's been a hell of a day.
Yeah, it's a good. I had a good day. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, we did a lot of yard work.
Yeah, we did.
Donated our time to a community garden.
Yep.
Mowed it. Weed eated.
Yep. Last week we pulled weeds out of the garden beds. The boys came and helped us, and today was just Paul and myself.
Yeah. And then I came home and mowed my front and side yard.
Because you're a glutton for punishment. Yeah. And you broke the lawnmower. I didn't break the lawnmower. You broke the lawnmower.
A big rock went through the side discharge thing. And
the little thingy that stops the stuff from spewing out the side.
The side flap. Yeah, that blew off and broke.
Aww.
So I ordered a new one.
Sad day. Isn't it sad? You know you're an adult when you get excited about like new appliances and shit. When like the highlight of your day is I broke my lawnmower and have to order a new discharge flap.
Especially when I got a new weed eater today.
Oh, and you replaced the side view mirror on your truck yesterday.
I did. I got a new side mirror.
Hashtag adulting.
Now I got to order a new one for the other side.
You got a lopsided truck.
Make it look pretty.
He has two side view mirrors. Just one's brand new and shiny, and the other one's the same age as the truck, which is
scratched
fucking
up and
old.
Dinged and everything else.
But it's fine.
Anyway. All right. So we are drinking Jose Cuervo Margaritas, the Tropical Paradise flavor
from Sam's Club.
From Sam's Club. And I'm going to pour me some. I already had one glass. Spill it everywhere. All right. Now my glass is full.
Yay.
Okay, now let's hear another five fun facts about Texas.
Five fun facts.
Number one, because it's so close to Mexico, Texans have developed a cuisine that mixes Mexican food and American cooking called Tex-Mex.
I have nothing to say about Tex-Mex. Sorry. Okay. And you're looking for a reaction from me.
All right, number two. Bugs Bunny's What's Up Doc catchphrase originated in Dallas. Looney Tunes animator Tex Avery, who attended North Dallas High School, introduced the phrase. He later said that he didn't think much of it because it was a common phrase used where he grew up.
Interesting.
Yeah. Number three, Maybe I need to drink some more margarita. Austin, Texas's largest city, is known as the live music capital of the world.
Keep Austin weird, man.
Yeah. Boasting several major festivals like South by Southwest and Austin City Limits. They also have more live music venues per capita than anywhere else in the country.
Wow.
So you can catch a show anytime, day or night.
That's awesome. You know what? Now that I think about it, on the train down to San Antonio, I feel like we rode past several live music shows, like that in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
I vaguely remember because we were on a train driving by.
Yes. I remember stupid shit, though. So.
All right. Number four. The deadliest natural disaster in United States history occurred in Texas. The Great Galveston Hurricane of 1900 took between 6,000 and 12,000 lives with a storm surge of 8 to 15 feet or 2.4 to 4.4 meters.
Holy shit!
The next deadliest hurricane in U.S. history was Hurricane Katrina, which claimed 1,200 lives. That's insane.
What? 6 to 12,000?
Yeah. It's a big range.
Wow.
Number 5. Every state has some weird-ass laws. Here are a few from Texas.
I love weird-ass state laws.
Me too. Eating another person's trash without their permission is illegal in Texas.
I mean, bruh, it's trash.
Yeah.
You're throwing it away. Why do I need to ask you before I can dumpster dive in your trash can?
Well, it's Texas.
So. Also, I would never dumpster dive in anyone's trash can for food. No, thank you. I am not a freegan. I could never.
It's also illegal to milk someone else's cow.
Sexy.
Which, understandable, because that's basically stealing milk.
You're stealing milk, yeah. I mean, don't milk my cow, bitch.
It's illegal in Texas to take more than a few sips of beer while standing up.
So how the hell are you supposed to do a mix and mingle?
It's
everybody's musical chairs mix and mingle. Yeah. Sit down, take a sip, stand up. Yeah. You can take a few sips and you have to sit back down again.
It's one of those stupid laws that's still on the books that will probably be voted up.
It's probably not enforced.
It never is.
Whatsoever. I mean,
guarantee you the cops stand up and drink.
I mean, how many times have we been in a Mexican restaurant when on duty police officers order margaritas? It happens. It happens a lot.
I've never seen any.
No?
No.
I fucking go to a Mexican restaurant on Taco Tuesday.
What, Mexican villa?
I have never set foot in a Mexican villa, so I can't speak to that.
That's why I've never seen the cop drink, so.
I don't know. I feel like every time, we haven't been to a Taco Tuesday in a long time, though.
That's
but
true.
Like every time we did, when we did do Taco Tuesdays, they were always in there drinking margaritas, eating their tacos, in their uniforms.
Well, I think it's a law that if you're a police officer, you have to have a 2-drink minimum, right?
I thought it was a 2-donut minimum.
Same thing. Anyways.
We're going to get canceled.
No, we're not.
Don't cancel us, Eric.
He's going to listen to this. Anyway, now let's get a room and party with some spirits in the Hotel Wooten.
Sounds like a good time.
In Abilene, Texas.
Watch out for that ectoplasmic... I don't even know. Ectoplasm.
I think you can tell we've been drinking a little bit.
Tiny bit. And we're not big drinkers, either of us, right now. Like, we haven't... drank. Well, you drink more than I do. You get a margarita when we go out to Mexican restaurants.
I kind of stopped drinking beer at home, though, but other than doing the podcast, which hopefully I get to do more often.
We'll try.
Yeah. All right, let's get into it. Described as one of Abilene's most sagacious entrepreneurs.
What?
Sagacious? That's what this article says.
I need to see the word, please.
S-A-G-A-C-I-O-U-S.
Look it okay, up. Okay, I can't. I have to see the word?
I looked it up. And
hey, Google. Define sagacious?
Here's the definition of sagacious. Suggestion is used having as a noun to mean mental discernment an and good ideal plan.
Consideration. We have two Googles going off at the same time.
Okay.
You want to hear how suggestion is spelled?
So, okay, how can a hotel be sagacious?
This person.
Oh.
Horace O. Wooten.
Oh, not the hotel.
Is a sagacious entrepreneur.
Sagacious.
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 Sagacious. See, Google pronunciation.
Okay. Sure.
Fuck you, Google. Shut up.
That's pronounced suggestions.
Suggestions.
Oh my god.
Well, Google says it's pronounced suggestions. So this suggestions entrepreneur, or sagacious. Horace O. Wooten was a publicity-shy, self-made man who entered the wholesale grocery business in 1898 at North 2nd and Cypress in a store just one block south of where his hotel would stand. Profits from his far-flung grocery empire were typically reinvested in growing his business and in bettering Abilene and the surrounding area.
This isn't the guy that founded HEB, is it?
No.
No? Okay. No.
Wooten helped build a desperately needed grain silo, still Ooh. Standing at Plum and North 2nd.
Ooh.
And was among...
You should see if your sister could take some pictures and text them to you.
Oh, yes, I should.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I have great ideas.
Yeah, so those pictures might be up on social media. Anyway, and was among a group of investors who built the Roscoe, Snyder, and Pacific Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Sure.
Wooten put his money into financing a badly needed hotel at Pine and North 4th Street, which was leased to Conrad Hilton, later renamed the Windsor.
Mm,
so
the
another
Hiltons.
Episode with Conrad Hilton's name in it. Remember?
Refresh my memory.
The episode.
I remember stupid shit, not important shit.
Conrad Hilton, remember?
Was that a hotel I did or a hotel you did?
Hotel I did, I think, that, oh shit, had Conrad's name.
Was it the Jesse James?
No.
No?
Oh my god.
Was it in Kentucky?
I don't know.
Does it exist?
We'll figure it out. Eventually. Anyway, where was I? And in 1928, Wooten and other investors helped alleviate the shortage of office space by constructing the 8-story Mims building.
I think we saw that, right? That's...
I mean, we saw all those. We saw this, the Paramount Theater. We saw... If we saw that, we surely saw the hotel.
Was that the day we got that really terrible coffee?
Yeah.
Oh.
So we visited a couple of coffee shops downtown in Abilene, and
one of them was amazing.
One was so amazing.
One was not, but it was the cutest.
It was
decorated.
So they spent all their money on decorations and not training how to make coffee.
Yeah,
and it was actually the owner who made us the coffee.
She was the owner?
She was the owner, and she did not know how to make coffee.
No. So I asked her, I said, do you have cold brew? And she goes, yeah. And then she goes, no, I have flash. And I was like, what the fuck is that? What's a flash? Apparently, it's where they hot brew coffee and then stick it in the cooler.
That's gross.
Which, if I want to drink... Listen, I love cold coffee. I know you don't.
I don't like it.
I love cold coffee. At home, if the pot of coffee goes cold, but I'm feeling like a cup of coffee, I will have no problem pouring that shit over ice and putting some creamer in it. Don't sell that to me for $6.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even, like, it was terrible. Even your sister was like, yeah, that's nasty.
Yeah, I got a hot brew and that shit was nasty, too.
So, but.
Anyway, I'm not going to name the names.
No.
But. It was
not good.
Yeah. But the other place was so good.
So good.
But it was so nice and friendly.
Yes. I wanted to get a t-shirt, but...
I know. They sell t-shirts and hats.
A lot of coffee shops sell t-shirts. Yeah. Fucking Dancing Mule, I think, sells t-shirts. My favorite coffee shop in Springfield, and Kaiju. But they're on complete opposite sides of town.
I like his stuff. He makes up different concoctions, and it's pretty cool.
Okay, quick little plug here. If you live in Springfield, Missouri, and you are not afraid to go to North Broadway, to the Fairbanks, the Drew Lewis Foundation, Kaiju Coffee.
It Shout is out to James.
So cute. The building's also very haunted, allegedly, supposedly.
That's actually probably going to be my first story when we get back to the local stuff.
But anyway, try Kaiju Coffee. If you're not in a coffee mood, get the Rodan. It is a hot tea with steamed lemonade. And I know that probably sounds nasty. Trust me, it's delicious. And it's got like peach. He makes all of his own homemade syrups, fruit infused syrups. So good. Please check out Kaiju Coffee. He did not pay us to say this. I just go there every Wednesday for a support group I'm in for burned out entrepreneurs.
Yes, she has meetings every Wednesday. I had a very nice hot...
it was like a Mexican hot chocolate inspired mocha.
It was a mocha with, what was in it? Cayenne pepper.
He sprinkled cayenne on top of it as like the garnish, but not garnish. I don't know. The did he put the habanero syrup? No. Oh. It had some kind of pepper.
He had a
pepper infused syrup
stuff, which I didn't want the extra spice, but that kind of sounded good. He put cayenne pepper on top, and it was very good.
It was so good. Okay. I know this is like an ad for Kaiju Coffee. Check out Kaiju Coffee. The best coffee shop on the Northwest side of Springfield. The only coffee shop, I think, on the Northwest side of Springfield. That's not a shitty Starbucks or a come and go coffee.
Yeah. Anyways. Oh, well, this helps pad the episode. So.
I'm a little chatty tonight, apparently.
All right, so.
Oh, yeah. Back to your story.
They built this office space, constructed the 8-story MEMS building. A year later, he paid a record price, $100,000 or $1.7 million today, for a downtown lot catty-corner to the MEMS, where he built the Hotel Wooten and the Paramount Theater.
$100,000 back then.
Yeah.
$1.7 million today's money?
Yes.
Can we have bought our house in 1900s money? Because it would be worth $1.7 million today.
That would be nice. Yeah. Anyways, so our next episode, I'm going to get into the Paramount Theater. And its history and haunting, so... It's very interesting. I did this one because he built this first. And actually, he built them at the same time.
Okay.
This one was a little first.
So. Okay. I believe you.
Anyways, construction bids for the tower-like hotel were opened in July 1929, and the 16-story hotel was ready for business less than 12 months later.
Jesus! That's fast in today's time when they use subpar building, but this is like a brick limestone building.
Yeah.
That they had done in a year?
Yep.
Holy shit.
So.
And they can't even fucking finish Whataburger. The one on West Sunshine?
Oh, yeah.
Or any of them. The only ones that are open are Ozark and Republic.
Yeah. They've been working on that one for
a year.
With vertical setbacks at the 5th and 15th floor, the tower-like building rested atop a foundation capable of supporting 21 stories should it prove to be a grand success and expansion necessary.
Nice.
So they had a hell of a support. So if they wanted to build more, they could.
I mean, it's always nice to be able to go up.
And I'm going to guess that the 13th story is haunted.
Why?
Because it is.
Why 13?
Supposedly 13's unlucky, which...
Fuck that bullshit.
I don't think it...
Fuck that bullshit. No, the number 13 is like the most fucking luckiest number on the planet, but it's bullshit.
Anyways, we'll get into it later.
Friday the 13th forever.
Anyway... By December of 1929, the concrete was already being poured on the top floor containing the water tank. Pressure in the city main water mains was unable to push water to the top floor, so a pump would send water to a 10,000-gallon tank above the 16th floor.
Hmm.
And exterior brick had reached to the 8th floor. So they had brick all the way up to the 8th floor.
Why not? What is it made out of past the 8th floor?
Fuck, I don't know. Stuff?
What is it made of past the 8th floor?
I don't know. The building would rise to 208 feet, 9 inches, making it the tallest in Abilene and for several counties in all directions.
Wow.
West Texas's most prominent illuminated sign extended the height for another 40 feet with letters spelling out Hotel in red and Wooten in blue.
Yeah, I remember the sign.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. The G.W. Waldrop Furniture Company won the bid to furnish the hotel.
Good for G.W. Waldrop.
Yep. Following a buying trip to Chicago with architect David Castle, Waldrop announced that the hotel would have the most exquisite furniture he had ever seen.
Good for the hotel.
Because...
Is it French?
Guy? I don't know.
Because if it's not French, it's not exquisite. I'm just saying.
Predominant colors in the lobby would be rose and green.
Of course.
While the 168 guest rooms would be fitted with velvet carpets and beds sporting Simmons Beauty Rest mattresses.
Velvet carpet? That's my nightmare. I hate that idea. That's a terrible idea.
Guests found their rooms complete with an adjustable ceiling fan and a radio built right into the wall.
Okay. So, interior designers, ceiling fans are life. Stop taking them out of rooms. If there's not a ceiling fan in a room, I cannot sleep. I must have the circulation. Ceiling fans are life.
Yeah.
Thank God for ceiling fans. And white noise machines.
All right. When the first guests check in, the Grand Hotel was not finished, as flooding had kept some trains bringing the draperies for the mezzanine and some furnishings from reaching the Abilene Depot.
Oh, no.
No. Despite not having all details in place, guests were whisked up to their floor at 600 feet per minute in the noiseless elevator.
Wow.
The pride of the hotel was the penthouse governor's suite featuring a living room and a small rooftop garden.
Whoa. Area.
Yeah.
Cute.
The only other room on the top floor was an apartment reserved for the hotel manager. So hotel manager lived on site, which is pretty cool.
I mean, that actually kind of sucks. Yeah. Would you want to live in an apartment above the post office?
Fuck no.
Okay, then. That's like nowadays how they do like the sneaky wage theft where like they make you pay for your uniform or they make you pay for your training or they give you free training. But then if you quit after so long, they make you pay it back.
Yeah.
Or like it's called golden handcuffs. That's yeah. Golden. Like if you quit your job, you don't have a place to live.
It's true. Yeah. All right. The formal opening of the Hotel Wooten took place over 2 days, June 6th and 7th in 1930, as thousands flocked to see the most impressive building in Abilene. Although the Hotel Wooten was never a great financial success and only experienced a 100% occupancy during the days of Camp Berkeley, the buff-colored building with the Wooten W set into walls flanking the main entrance remains an Abilene icon.
Icorn?
Icorn. Yep. Icon. I thought I said icon.
I heard icorn.
Icorn. I don't know. I've been drinking margaritas. I'm almost on my
You said one. That. This is a hot mess.
It's fine.
Steaming hot pile of mess.
Ah, margaritas. The Hotel Wooten is located in downtown Abilene, Texas, at 1102 North 3rd Street. This graceful 16-story tower was built at the corner of North 3rd and Cypress Street in 1930 by the local businessman H.L. Wooten, who, according to legend, paid cash for the construction amid the Great Depression. So, that's pretty impressive.
Impressive?
Yep. With its massive blue and red neon sign atop its roof, the hotel was visible for miles. I already read this. I don't know why I put this shit in twice. Anyways. Additionally, the soaring tower created a wind current at 3rd and Cypress that would raise skirts on windy days, attracting crowds of young male onlookers. Attracting crowds of young male onlookers and skirted ladies eager to be looked on.
Ankles! Ankles! Ankles!
Show me those ankles.
Calves. Oh my god, I saw her upper calves.
In response to the growing indecency of the Wooten Corner.
Oh no.
Variously nicknamed Ankle Acre. Bloomer's Block. And Wooten's Whoopsie Daisy.
Oh no!
The Abilene City Council resurrected an antique city ordinance.
Ankle Acre!
The Abilene City Council resurrected an antique city ordinance that forbade the ogling of unescorted ladies, but which failed to settle the legal status of wind.
The legal status of wind?
Yeah, because the...
Oh my god. No, no. But if only the 1930s existed in the tunnel between, not the tunnel, the alley between my office and the dentist's office, that fucking tunnel.
That's crazy.
Oh my god. In the wintertime, it gets you.
Do you stand in the middle of it with a dress on?
Sometimes I wear dresses to work, and sometimes I have to hold my skirts in place when I walk past that. No, I'm not kidding. Especially this year, we've had such high winds no fucking reason.
The efficacy of this ordinance is a matter of some debate.
Of course.
Yep. The Wooten was at the center of the Abilene social scene for much of the middle...
Of course, because there were ankles.
Yeah. Much of the middle of the 20th century. By the 1970s, however, commerce had shifted south as Abilene's burgeoning population spread outward. The hotel and much of downtown Abilene fell into a state of disgrace and disrepair.
Of course. That's what happens with downtowns.
Yeah. That's why they're trying to build Springfield's downtown back up.
I mean, it's getting there. Getting there. You could spend $7,000 on a chair at that furniture store.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That was expensive. We went to an art show.
First of all, the art was amazing.
We saw my friend Eric's wife. She was singing in her band, and she had,
and she had art on display.
A ton of art. It was amazing.
Yeah.
She's an amazing artist.
Yeah, but the furniture store...
Yeah, the furniture store.
That's a racket.
That the art show was in. The furniture was insanely expensive.
I mean, listen, we're too poor broke.
So, yeah, we don't know what how much real good furniture costs. So
I have... my couch is literally from 1960, and I paid $300 for it.
Yeah, we basically just...
I'm a bargain hunter.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to pay $1,000 for a coffee table.
It's a nice antique furniture.
It's not an antique. I Googled it. An antique is something that's 100 years old or older.
Well, this is actually made locally.
Yeah, it was made in Lebanon.
Yeah.
Lebanon, Missouri.
Lebanon, Missouri.
Lebanon, Missouri. Yes. I never say it correctly.
Not the country, Lebanon.
No, not the country. Anyways, Lebanon.
Where was I?
That's where Cackle is. That's where I can get my black copper. My chickens!
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyways. For several years, the Wooten has been rechristened the Abilene Towers Apartments. It became notorious for the chunks of masonry and debris that would often rain down on unsuspecting pedestrians.
Awesome.
Below as it crumbled beneath the West Texas sun.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Just walking down the street, a big old brick falls on your head.
That would be shitty.
Oh, that's my nightmare.
Finally, just as it seemed doomed to erode beyond the possibility of restoration inevitably, the Wooten was swept up in the revitalization that had already consumed much of downtown.
You mean gentrification.
Too well. Anyways, starting with Wooten's neighbor, the Paramount Theater. The tower underwent a complete overhaul in 2005 by the Beaumont, Texas.
Oh!
Yeah.
Recent.
Yeah. Texas contractor Daniels Building and Construction and is now an apartment building. It is now called Hotel Wooten Apartments.
Not to be confused with any Wooten Apartments in Springfield, Missouri. Different Wooten.
Yeah, different Wooten.
We established that.
We looked it up.
Yeah.
And now for the hauntings.
Let's get to it.
Alrighty. For being a historic building, surely the Hotel Wooten Apartments have more tenants than the management might think. The apparition of a woman in an old-fashioned dress and a bellhop have been seen throughout various parts of the complex, while ghostly laughter and ballroom music have been heard when no one is around.
I'm sorry. You don't have to put this in the podcast if you don't want to, but you said bellhop, and I don't know why, but a core memory was just unlocked. When I was a kid, we had a game. It was called Titanic, and it was about the Titanic. And one of the things, one of the, was it a player character, I think, was a bellhop. I don't know why. I've heard the word bellhop probably 5,000 times in my life. For some reason, you just saying it right now just unlock that core memory.
You have the weirdest fucking memories.
I do. I do.
And here is that part. According to some tenants, the 13th floor is the most haunted.
Of course. There's like something psychological in people's minds nowadays when they hear the number 13. They just think Satan, evil devil. And it's like, actually, no. 13 is like the most like prosperous, lucky number in numerology. Like, it's amazing. The number 13 is amazing. But also, I'm a sucker for an underdog. So,
yeah.
13. I love you.
And no one wants to live there on that floor.
I would.
Sometimes the elevator will stop there when no one is in there. And the button is not pressed.
Hey. That's the floor to be on.
Yeah.
That's where everyone wants to be, dead or alive.
Maybe somebody's in there playing the elevator game.
Fuck that. No, I don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah. Sad stories about that. Anyways, here are some personal experiences submitted by the name of Current Resident.
All right, Current Resident, let's hear it.
I live in the Hotel Wooten in downtown Abilene. I have seen the full-bodied apparition of what appears to be a young male bellhop standing in my apartment on several occasions.
In their apartment?
Yes. I heard a female laughing and giggling in my bedroom closet.
Okay.
My husband has felt people touch him and heard a female giggling as he was being touched.
Ooh, frisky ghost.
Saucy. We have been woken up in the middle of the night by old-time music and people talking in our apartment.
Listen, a party's a party, no matter what time of day or year.
Yeah. My dogs get nervous, run to areas of the apartment, and start growling for no reason.
Well.
We have never felt threatened and believe these are old residual hauntings.
Or maybe they're just like nice spirits.
Yeah.
But also I have theories that are different, but I'll let you tell your story.
Anyway. Others in our building have experienced some of the same things. Others have also seen a female apparition wandering the building.
Let me guess. She's looking for her dead lover or her baby.
Both. I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
No. So, if you lived in the Hotel Wooten Apartments and saw some apparitions, would it make you afraid-ish?
Probably not, actually.
I would just invite them in for a beer. So.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but...
It'd be fun getting a ghost drunk. Come on.
No comment.
All right. So that's it.
That's it?
That's it.
That's the episode?
That's the episode.
Cool beans. Hope that's short.
Hope everybody liked it, had fun, listen to this drunk couple talk about random shit. So
really random shit. this was a true unmasked ADHD hot mess of an episode.
So this is the kind of episode you'd get if I was like drinking margaritas instead of beer. So hopefully you liked it.
Really?
Yeah.
Margaritas instead. Wait, what?
Anyway. Do you have anything else?
Negative.
All right.
Also, the number 13 is not unlucky and I will die on this hill.
Okay, so the number 13 is lucky.
Yes.
Or not unlucky.
No, it's lucky.
Okay. So, if you have any stories or requests of anything you want to hear about or know anyone who does, please email me at afraidishpodcast@gmail.com, Instagram and Facebook at Afraidish Podcast. The website is still down for now. All the links in the will be in the show notes. Also, rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And
5 stars, please.
And rate on Spotify. you can listen to the... Cause I never say this. I'm going to start saying this. You can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get listen to podcasts. Because I'm on like
Anchor, all the things.
8 different places.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't know.
Because you use Anchor to publish, right?
That's correct, yes.
So it pushes it to everywhere. Literally everywhere.
Well, not everywhere, but most places.
I'm pretty sure it's everywhere.
Anyways.
Pretty sure it implants it in your brain. You just have to access the information.
Yes. Also, I also keep forgetting to say this shit.
Say the shit.
This on YouTube.
You do?
Without video, but it's on YouTube.
Great.
Yes. I want to have video for Patreon, which hopefully we can do eventually. Like bonus episodes with video.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
Or put the episodes on video and let people pay to see us.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Anyways. Guess that's it.
Okay. Good time.
Anyways, don't forget to rate and review.
5 stars. Even if you hated me, 5 stars.
And as always, don't be afraid of the dark.
Be afraid-ish of what's in it.
Bye.
Bye.